questions I want to ask everybody in the church. How many of you are tired? Let's just be real. Are tired of just getting by?
Amen.
How many of you are tired of just getting up every single day, going all that day, business as usual? The same old thing, same old repetition, get up, eat, go home, work, watch TV, go to sleep. How many are tired of this type of life?
Amen.
How many are tired of just doing the same thing over and over and over and over again?
Amen.
I've got good news for you this morning, amen.
Right.
We serve a God who tells us to call those things which as though they are not, mm-hmm. as though they were.
Amen.
And this morning, we're just going to be ministering on a simple subject, and it's simply called, I didn't even put a title because it's so simple. We'll just call it by faith. Amen. We'll just call it by faith. Now, verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, and before I go into the Hebrews chapter 11, I want to kind of give you a background of what happened in the church of Hebrews. The church of Hebrews, they were a well-established church. These people knew the Word of God. They knew they weren't like in apostasy or some of the things like Corinth and things were. But this church was on the borderline of falling to apostasy because so many of them believed that the Lord was coming back in their day and time was going on and persecution was coming and they just didn't see a sign of the Lord coming back. So they were getting slack. They were going backwards. They weren't going forward. And because they thought that the Lord was going to return so quickly and the Lord was tarrying, they were somewhere starting to lose faith. But nevertheless, the author of Hebrews writes the letter to encourage them, to inspire them, to keep them in their way, to let them know that the Lord is long-suffering, willing that none should perish, but should all come to repentance. But I want you to understand that's the context of what's going in. So the author of Hebrews does not really know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Nevertheless, he begins to remind them of what faith is. He begins to remind them of who God is. He begins to remind them that there were others that were hoping for a promise that didn't necessarily get it. But nevertheless, even though you might not get what the promise of God is in your lifetime, hope, faith, love, these things will get you through. Amen.
Amen.
So with that being said, I want to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Amen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and it was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he has testimony that pleased God. Now, key verse, I want you to hear it good this morning. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'll read it again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want you to learn today that faith and hope go together. And the same things that are the object of our hope are the object of our faith. So meaning if you are hoping for something, if you are believing God for something, that is the same thing that your faith is tied into. What you are expecting God to do is what you have faith in God to do, amen? So if you're believing for a house, if you're believing for a job, if you're believing for a financial blessing, if you're believing to get along with people, if these are the things that you're hoping for, this is what your faith must be in. Now we understand that all faith is through what Christ has done for us at the cross, but I want to give you a breakdown of what faith is. What do you think faith is, by definition? What is faith?
Believing.
Believing? What is faith?
Believing in something.
All right, let me give you the actual definition of faith. And this can apply to anything. Faith in general is a conviction of the truth of anything. Meaning that you believe something is that it is. This morning when y'all came and sat down on the pew, sat down that it was going to hold you. You didn't even question it. You had a strong conviction. You understood that this was going to support you. That's what faith is, when you have a strong conviction of anything. Now, relating to God, it's the conviction that God exists, and that He's the creator and the ruler of all things, the provider and the bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. This is what faith is, that I am convicted, meaning I know. You know when a person goes to court and they get convicted by the jury, that means the jury is saying, I know for a fact that this person is guilty. Put him in jail and throw away the key. We have to have the conviction that when it comes to God, that we know that He is God. We know that He is the Lord. We know that He is the founder of the world. We have to have this conviction that there's no other name under heaven with the power to save that's Jesus Christ. We have to have faith in the fact, undoubtedly, unwavering, in the fact that God is who He says He is.
Amen.
That God is who He says He is. In verse 6, we understand that we have to first believe that God is, right?
Yes.
So I want you to understand what faith is. Because if you don't understand what faith is, how can you have faith?
Right.
So we're learning today that hope and faith go one and the same. I hope for the rapture. And if I'm hoping for the rapture, then my faith needs to be getting me, pointing me in that direction. And I'm looking for God to provide me with a house. And that's what I'm hoping for. I have to know this for a fact, that God said He'll do it. And because God said He'll do it, I'm not going to let anything deter me from God's promise. So all throughout Hebrews, we see God promising people things. And no matter what circumstance came their way, by faith, their object was on that promise, was on that hope. They walked according to the promise.
Amen.
We have to walk according to the promise.
According to the promise.
If your faith is in Jesus and your faith is in the cross, then you have to pursue, you have to follow the path in which God has laid for your faith so that the blessing can come to pass. We find that throughout the Old Testament, faith and hope go together, and so does an obedience.
Amen.
When you believe God for something,
amen.
When you believe Him for something, faith works out obedience.
Right.
So if God has called you, if God has promised you something, He always says what you need to do.
That's what, yes, He does.
There's not a time that God tells you to do something that He doesn't tell you how to do it. Hey, Noah. Hey, Noah. Hey, listen, Noah. There's going to be a flood. Now, I know you don't even know what a flood is because it's never rained. Before the flood, it had never rained. Never. God allowed a mist to come up and down, and it never rained. So imagine telling the guy, there's going to be a flood. He's never seen rain. Never seen raindrops are falling on my head. He's never seen a thunderstorm or a shower. And hearing this voice from heaven, people must have thought he was crazy. He's going to go build a big, humongous ark and put animals? Would you go pick up a lion? Or a serpent or a snake and every creeping thing and thing and do I do? Faith is crazy.
Right.
The world will call you crazy. You mean you believe in this God thing, this Jesus, and coming to the earth and not? You are crazy to believe that.
Yep.
Faith is crazy.
Yes, it is.
To call things as though they are not, as though they were. To say to this mountain be now removed. You start talking about that, people will put you in the nut house.
Right.
But imagine this man named Noah. God says, hey, buddy, it's going to flood, and this is what you need to do. Give you some Gomer wood. Build this ark this breadth, depth, height, and width. And even though everybody calls you crazy, I'm going to call you preacher righteousness. You let them know that I'm coming. You let them know a flood is coming. And though they might curse you, mock you, say you're crazy, you follow in faith. Abraham, I know that you are a well man. I know your family's got lots of idols and they're very prosperous. But I'm going to call you out into a strange land to where you don't have family ties, to where you can't call your dad when your car breaks down and you don't know what to do. I'm going to bring you out to a place where there's no one else to help you but me. Faith will cause you to lean and cleave.
Amen. Lean and cleave.
So we're going to learn today with the importance of this faith. Faith will have you say, hey, Abraham, I also want you to take your son, your only son that you love, and I want you to go ahead and slay him as an offering before me. Faith will cause you to do what you would not do.
Amen.
Hey, Abel, I want you to offer a better sacrifice. Hey, Enoch, you know, I really like you. You're my God. Come on up to heaven. What I'm trying to get you to understand is faith is not something that is just so easy. You have to have a strong conviction, first of all, that God is who He is. And until you have this Lord. You'll be like Gideon. Lord, I'm not sure if it was you. I'm going to put out this fleece, and if you let me wet on one side, then I'll know it's you. But Lord, I see it's wet on one side, but if it's really you, let it be wet and dry all around. You see, until you have a understanding and a conviction, meaning that you have resolved within yourself that when it comes to God, what he says is what he says. Until you have the conviction to when you look to Jesus, you understand that's the last place you have to look. Once you give it to him, it's done. Once you ask God to heal your brother, Jim, it's done. He can't go anyplace else. There's not a doctor. There's not a hospital. There's not a medical miracle. It all is in faith in Jesus Christ. I'm tired of seeing Christians losing, and I'm tired of seeing Christians wasting money, because everything you need is wrapped up in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Yeah. There is a king who has a cattle on a thousand hills. There's not anything that God does not have. But until you have God, as I said last week, is your go-to God. Your go-to God. You'll be going everywhere else but to Jesus. We have to have this conviction that Jesus is by His stripes. We are healed by the death, burial, and resurrection. We are free. This is the fact that we have to be convicted that when someone says something different, we say, no, you're wrong. God, He's right. No, you're wrong. God, He's right. He's made my crooked way straight. He's made my unrighteousness His righteousness. He saved me from my sins. You're trying to tell me something different? No, 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 no. I am convicted. I am persuaded. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God who said I am that I am is still the same God today as He was yesterday and forever shall be. You've got to be convicted that God is on the throne. God is I am. He called the world which were not. He made them out of things which were not to be made. He said, let there be light. Let there be a mist in heaven. Let there be a firmament divided from the top to the bottom. He said, let the dry land appear. God knows who He is.
Yes.
We have to know who He is. We have to know.
That's right. Amen.
We have to know. Until we have this conviction, till we have this faith, to where when God speaks, we just obey.
Amen.
You have to have this conviction. Because without this conviction, it is impossible to please God. Without this conviction, without this understanding, it is impossible to please God. We trust in the best sometimes better than we trust in God. We trust in a friend and a brother because we can see them sometimes better than God. But we have to look to the Lord, the So we have this understanding that faith is final when you understand and believe that God, first of all, is who he says it is. He is. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Believe that he is what? Believe he is what? Let's read a little bit before. It says in verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. For those of you that are in school taking science class, they're going to tell you it was the Big Bang. They're going to tell you some molecules collided, and they took the nitrate and oxide and the outer space thing, and all of a sudden, there was this Big Bang. Just like this Big Bang. And then we all came from monkeys, and we all evolved, and we have the same DNA as a banana, and this is what you've got to believe. Yeah, it was the Big Bang. How'd you get here? The Big Bang. How'd you get here? The Big Bang. How was nature made? The Big Bang. No. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
That's what we're convicted of. You can't tell me you're lying, devil. I know for a truth. I know for a fact. I've been convicted. I've been persuaded that it's God Almighty who spoke the world into existence. It's God Almighty who formed Adam and breathed into his nostrils. I've got a new history book, a new science book for you. It's called the Word of God. By it I live. By it I breathe. By it I move. I don't know about you, but this is a convicting truth. What's in this book is what's true. Everything else is a lie.
Amen.
Why do I know this? Because I believe that God is.
Amen.
Who he is.
Hallelujah.
So we got to understand faith.
Amen.
You want to please God? Stop down them.
Amen.
You want to please God? Take him at his word.
Amen.
You want to please God? Just follow him.
Thank you, Lord.
This is faith. What we hope for. You need help with your business? Why not? Person they happen to call governor. I know a person who happens to have the government upon his shoulders. I happen to know a person that wrote the law books. I happen to know a person that knows how to do checks and balances. And I happen to have a person that knows how to see you through claims. And guess what his name is? Jesus. You see, you need help with your business? Not a problem. You need help getting along with people? The same person called the author of love.
Amen.
You see, in Jesus, everything we need has been given.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We must have faith. So what is faith, I'll ask you again?
Conviction.
What is faith? A conviction of a truth. Related to Christ, it's a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Impossible means this. Without strength, impotent, powerless, weakly, disabled, unable to be done, impossible. When your faith in God is not correct, when your faith in God is not final or fixed or positioned correctly, you know why it's impossible to please him? Because you have no strength. You have no power. Because if your conviction is wavering,
amen,
how can you receive something from Almighty God? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's not the foundation that's built upon the rock.
Amen.
The foundation that's built upon the rock is sturdy, it's founded, that when floods and trials come, that the foundation is not laid. So we are cautioned here, and this is the lesson to be learned. If you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, don't doubt God. It will cost you more than you know. So we have to understand that we have to have faith. We must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, diligence, it's something that, I don't know, that's called, that's what oneself, to beg, to crave, to require, to constantly have a need to have the Lord, to diligently. Now, we can clean the house, or we can diligently clean the house. We can look for all the dirt, pull out the couches, pull out the oven and the microwave. We can even serve the Lord with just a general service. I love the Lord. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But if you get up early in the morning, early in the morning, I will rise unto thee. If we look for the Lord, if we seek the Lord, we'll find him. What does that mean? Jesus is not always so easy to be found. If we have to seek, that means we have to look, we have to search to find out God's plan and path for our life. We have to seek diligently in prayer, pray without ceasing. Knocking, keep knocking. These are the things we are taught by Jesus, amen. In every example of faith in the Bible, individuals were called to do things that they themselves could never do.
Amen.
So, another aspect of faith. Faith is something that you and your own self cannot do. Meaning that what God calls us to do, he'll call us out, but the task that we are to do is something that God has to see through. It's not something that we can do in our own self. For instance, Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of those things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was sent, he was called to go out to a place where he should not have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned into the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked to a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang thereout even one, and him as though he was dead, so many as the stars of the sky, and the multitude as the sand by the seashore, innumerable. These things Sarah in herself was called of God to have a baby in 99.
Amen.
In her own self, she couldn't take all the vitamins in the world. All the vitamins in the world ain't gonna make no dead woman alive. God called her to it, God will bring her through it.
Amen.
If God calls you to something, someone sent me something in email, and it said, if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. And had this picture of a house on fire. If God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. And this is what we find in faith. God brings them to a place, and through faith, God's plan is worked out. Amen. But their attitude is in verse 13. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, dying in faith. It says in 13, all these died in faith, having not received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this land. What was the promise that they didn't receive? Anybody know? What was the promise that the Old Testament saints did not receive? Now, God surely gave them promises, but there was a greater promise that he told Abraham. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of the Lord, and he was glad. The people in the Old Testament didn't get to see the incoming of the New Testament. They didn't get to see the birth of Christ. They didn't get to see the plan of God come to fulfillment. They didn't get to see these things, but nevertheless, they hoped for it. They had faith. They conducted their life as world. Though we're here, we're pilgrims. If you can believe God for something, even though you may not receive the promise in your lifetime,
amen,
it is enough to get you through.
Amen.
All of the trials that God sends your way, amen. These examples, the word pilgrim, it means one who comes from a foreign country into a land to reside by the side of the natives.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perfect description of Jesus. Jesus came from a far country called heaven, down to be born among the natives, us, to live and dwell among us, but he was constantly testifying of, I am from above, you are from beneath. You are from the dirt, and I am from above. He was a pilgrim, but he was testifying where he was going.
Amen.
See, when we became Christians, when we accepted Jesus into our hearts and life, at that moment we became a pilgrim. Because our new home, our new life, was in heaven. It's our new place. So we testify that we are not of this world. But we are going to a place where there will be no need for light. We're going to a city where the streets are paved with gold. Our home has got jasper and emeralds and pearls and all sorts of stone. We come from a better place, amen. And we're going back there. So as Christians, we have to have this hope that our returning is near, amen. God has sent us here, given us this life, given us faith to cause us to want to return home. Jesus, as I said, was a stranger to the land. But faith again is a conviction. Meaning that even if God sends me to the Ninevites, if God sends me into a far off land, if God causes me to run, or causes me to flee, or causes me to lay down my life, because I am persuaded, because I am fixed, because I have this understanding, I will do it. I will go. Kind of like Job. Everything was lost, it could be lost. But he had an understanding that it was by God he lived and by God he died. I think there's a song for somebody ought to testify. For God I live, for God I die. Somebody ought to testify. But here's faith in action once more. The author of Hebrews finally gets to the point in verse 32. Just look down and read it. And it says, and what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, through understanding that God is God, through understanding that the Lord is the Lord, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their death, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection. Others had the trial of cruel mocking and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and in caves on the earth. All these having obtained a good report through faith. You have to obtain a good report through the understanding that when you go with God, when he is the one that you believe and trust in, you don't have to worry about the trial because God will bring you through. I don't know if you guys are getting it. Every single situation that you could have gone through in life is mentioned here.
Amen.
Every situation that you could have gone through life is mentioned here. And how do they overcome? Through the blood of the Lamb, by understanding faith. They didn't even have Jesus. They couldn't see the miracle. They hadn't even seen his coming. They didn't get to see him crucified on the cross. But they had the word of God saying that there is going to come a deliverance of your people. There is going to come. I'm going to send my son to die for you. They had the word, and therefore that's what they had faith in.
Amen.
And their faith was greater than their trial.
Amen.
Their faith was greater than their trial. And I have a... So this is what I love about the Lord. In the Old Testament, Lord. You had to obey. You had to, if you didn't obey, you had to offer these sacrifices, so on and so forth. It was established between God and man. As for the New Testament, if you look in the Old Testament, what was the problem? People, we didn't keep our end of the agreement. The children of Israel were always running away. Therefore, instead of God always prospering them, he had to curse them and teach them lessons. He said, if you're diligent in the hearken of my word, I will bless you. If you don't, I will curse you. That was the agreement that he had, and they were always in the wrong. They were stiff-necked people. So God, through his grace and mercy, he's looking, man, these are covenant breakers.
Amen.
These are constant covenant breakers. I want to gather them like a hen gathers her chicks, but they are constantly running away. Yes. They are constantly going astray. I can't do anything with these people.
Amen.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm bigger than their sin. I'm bigger than their problem. I'm going to do two things. I'm going to send my son to die for them on the cross that they might have forgiveness of their sins, but then I'm going to strike a covenant with him.
Amen.
I'm going to strike a covenant with Jesus. So God says, Jesus, you see this mess? They need a Savior. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you. And if you are willing to die for them on the cross and forgive them of their sins, I'm going to establish this covenant with you. You'll be the covenant keeper. Your blood will cover up all their mistakes, all their problems, all their failures. And here's the kicker. When they got a problem, they're going to come to you with it so that you can fix it.
Amen.
So here's the new covenant. God and Jesus. Jesus is perfect. The covenant will never be broken. And as long as the covenant is never broken between God and his son, the blessings come. I don't know about you. We have better promises. We don't have to. It's not about what I've done. All I've got to do is believe God for what he has done. The covenant between God and his son. Therefore, when I worship Jesus, I'm thinking, thanks for keeping the covenant. Thanks for going to the cross. I couldn't do it, but you're my covenant keeper. You're the one who keeps me in right relationship with God. So I want to thank you. This is what they didn't have. There's no more need for the shedding of bulls. No more need for the shedding of lambs. Because the Lamb of God, he shed his blood. Covenant sealed. Covenant sealed. Jesus Christ is forevermore the King of Kings and the bright morning star. If you come to Bible study, if you read the book, it's going to make great sense to you. He is our covenant keeper. It's established between God and his son. It's a blood covenant. It cannot be broken.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. The agreement was stuck on the cross.
Thank you.
Boom.
Thank
Boom.
You, Lord.
Boom.
Hallelujah.
The covenant. If you understand covenant, you understand freedom.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ, because he's what he has done, has given us better promises.
Amen.
A better covenant.
Amen.
The old one, all I could do was point to Jesus. And if the old covenant, this is what I'm getting at. If the old covenant can see these people through what they went through, how much more? How much more can God do for you?
Amen.
How much more has the scriptures been realized so that we can have faith? You see, all these examples are just to prove the fact that God is God.
Amen.
All of these examples were given to the Hebrew church that was near apostasy to remind them that God is God. They had almost wavered. They had almost doubted at the promise of God. They had almost given up. But the author said, don't you remember?
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't you remember what God has already done? These are our clouds of witnesses. So in Hebrews 12 we learn, let us lay aside the sin that so easily beset us and let us go forward to the cross. Why? Because God is able. Because God has done it time and time and time again. We are in covenant.
Thank you, Lord.
With Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
And God.
Thank you,
Lord. You see, it shocks me when modern day Christians don't get it.
Hallelujah.
He even sent his Holy Spirit to make us understand it.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, I've done so many things that you need my interpreter to come.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, show them what I've done.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Better promises.
Amen. Better promises.
more excellent ministry. By how much also he's a mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, then there should be no place to stop for a second. Providing you with them, he said, Behold, the days come, say the Lord, where I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day that I took them and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regard them not, say the Lord. For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, say the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind and write upon their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful upon their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities shall I remember no more. And this he saying, the new covenant, he had made the first old. Now the case was waxing old and ready to vanish away. The old covenant is done. The old covenant is done the moment you realize the gift and the grace of God. Amen. I hope today that we walk out of here and we understand and believe God that He is. Because you cannot go past that. You cannot go anywhere with God until you believe that He is. Not in my saying it. Your lips can say you understand it. Your lips can say you understand it. But the proof is your life.
Amen. Amen.
The proof is your life. Amen. There is nothing that faith does not accomplish. There is nothing that faith, and what I have a better way to say, there is nothing that your relationship with the Lord cannot fix or resolve. Amen. Because when you believe that God is who He is, who can stand in your way? If God be for you, who can be against you? If you have resolve within yourself, if you have confidence and conviction that Jesus is who He is, the devil don't want nothing to do with you. Every time the devil gets in a fight with Jesus, he loses. But until his servants have faith that the Lord will back them every single time, and you'll have victory in your life. When you are understanding, you are rooted in the cross, and your faith is this. Devil says, you know what? You're no good, rotten, dirty, scoundrel, sinner, addicted to watching movies and TV. You're addicted to McDonald's and Burger King. And you, Tanya, you ain't never getting a house. You ain't got no credit. And you ain't got no credit either to make no business. And you ain't never going to get along with people because you're just mean. And you might have all these things, and we might have this list of hopes and says that, if I can read my handwriting, that you ain't going to graduate school, boy. You ain't got no brains. This is what the devil's trying to do. He might say, you ain't going to get no better job, or you're not going to be with the right person. Jenny, he might not say, your brother ain't never going to get healed. Three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Abednego. See, it's funny in that story. The devil always tried to change their names. Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't their names. It was Ananias, Azariah, and what was the last one? Meshach, I believe. And all the names that God had given them brought glory to God. When you look at the Hebrew and look at their names that the devil gave them, they were all worshiping false gods. Don't let the devil change your name.
Amen.
Faith, understanding, conviction always confronts the lie of the enemy. But until you believe, that's much more of our clothes. Until you believe, have a conviction of the truth of God, you can't expect to go forward with God. God can't deliver people that don't believe in Him. It's not going to happen. He can't bring about a miracle in someone's life if they don't believe Him for it. By faith, the worlds were framed, amen. I'd ask you all to stand today. By faith, this church is built and get full. Faith. It's a fact. It's going to happen. Might not know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen, amen.
Amen, by faith.
So when the bills like to say, you know what, we're going to turn off your lights. No. But it's never going to lock up the doors. No. This is how it's going to be, amen. There you hear this morning that have been struggling with believing. And I don't think there's one of us here that hasn't at some point. We need to ask God to continually show us, as He gave this church in Hebrews that was getting ready to apostatize, that He is on the throne. And even though that we might not see everything happen,